Let's pray, please. Father, we just come to you knowing that Jesus is a wonder. And we just thank you that we do not worship an ideology. We don't worship a theory. But we worship the living and true God. And I just pray that today as we study your word, that we might continue to relinquish ourselves and our will to the teachings and truth that you would have us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've had a couple of weeks, both with Christmas and also with a New Year's sermon break, we're back to Hebrews and we're still in chapter 11. So if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And this morning we are going to study one verse, and as we've been discussing in Hebrews chapter 11, all of the different characters in the chapter living their life for Christ and for God, now we're going to discuss ending your life, ending well. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21, it says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." We all have an ending, don't we? We all have an ending. I've mentioned this before, but I remember at my father's funeral, the pastor saying something that struck me. And he said, "We all have a terminal disease. It's called death." We all die. Some of us die young, others of us die old. But barring the Lord's return, we all face death. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should all desire to end well, to finish well. As my 20 years in the pastorate, I have ministered to numbers of people as they have faced their final days. I've been with believers in their latter hours, and I have also ministered to non-believers as they struggle. I have witnessed people experience joy as they approach Christ. And I've seen others look back with regrets on a wasted life. It is something that we all deal with. I think that as we look at this verse, verse 21, I think that there's a number of spiritual truths that we can apply in our own life. Jacob was not a perfect person. None of us are. But Jacob had peace of mind. As we look at verse 21, we can first of all say that he had peace of mind. And as you look at Genesis 48 and 49, and we're going to look at some scripture there this morning, he wasn't worried about himself. He was passing on blessings first to Joseph's children, and then also we see that he passed those blessings on to his grandchildren. Psalm 37:37 says, "Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." Pink, in his commentary on Hebrews and in relationship to this psalm, Psalm 37:37, he quotes Spurgeon, and Spurgeon says this: "With believers, it may rain in the morning, thunder at midday, and pour torrents in the afternoon, but it must clear up ere the sun go down." In other words, as we walk with Christ, we're not going to walk with Him perfectly, but for the believer at the end of the day, there should be peace. You can have this type of peace, but I would venture to say that this type of peace begins with a walk of faith. A walk of selfishness, a life of selfishness, brings final days of regret. A walk of faith gives you peace. Not only do you see that in the life of Jacob, but there's a couple of other examples that I would like to point out this morning. First of all, I would like for us to look at the words of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, it says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." As I read the words of Paul as he faces his latter days, it gives us a great example of something that we should all strive for. We should all strive to be able to say words like Paul said in verse 7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Paul's life wasn't bookmarked with a one-time salvation event and then a one-time passage towards heaven. It was marked with a life of faith. That's why he said, "I have finished the race." The race is progression, isn't it? And that life of faith, that walk of faith, that steadfastness, that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, at the end brings peace. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Peter says this, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Though you know and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." I want to point something out that's a commonality between Jacob and between Paul and Peter. They all had a peace. They all knew that they were passing, and they were all interested in passing on their belief and their view to the next generation. We'll get to more of that in a moment. But see, you can't do that unless you have peace. They knew their destination. They were confident in their destination. They accepted it. And yet, they looked at what would happen after they were gone. And Jacob with his grandchildren and his children. And then Paul and Peter with followers, their fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think we would all agree that we would like to have this type of peace. As we think about whatever time we have at our latter days, that we would be at peace? Is it based upon positive thinking? Can I will myself to have this kind of peace? I don't think so. And I think that we will find the answer by turning to Genesis 48 and looking at Jacob. Genesis 48, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, 'Indeed, your father is sick.' And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, 'Look, your son Joseph is coming to you.' And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, 'God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, "Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.'" What were the first two words that Jacob said to Joseph? "God Almighty." He said, "God Almighty appeared to me." He didn't talk about family outings. He didn't talk about favorite possessions. He talked about the Lord. He talked about the Lord and he talked about the covenant promise. I want us to think about that just for a moment. As Jacob is facing death, and as Joseph comes in the room, they have a discussion about God. That takes a couple of interested parties, doesn't it, to discuss the things of God. We in families should be comfortable talking about God. We should be able to have an open discussion about the promises of God, the truths of God, living for God. Shouldn't be ashamed of it. Shouldn't have to dance around it. It should be something that fellow believers are comfortable talking about. And as we think about that for a moment, you can't have that unless you have a walk. And as you walk with the Lord, you are more and more comfortable talking about Him and your experience with Him. And that's what you see here in this account in Genesis 48. It's what's important. It's everlasting. It reminds me of the words of Christ in Matthew 6. Verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think we can honestly say at the deathbed, houses, cars, bank accounts, all of those things lose importance very rapidly. As I have witnessed people passing, I have never had someone wonder about how much money they had in the bank account at that particular point in time. The discussion always goes to the eternal. That's how we should be living our life. We should be focused on the eternal, and our focus on the eternal allows us at the end to have peace. Reminds me of the hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And when we are comfortable discussing the things of God, we then turn our attention to future generations and brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Genesis 48, in verse 8, it says, "Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, 'Who are these?' And Joseph said to his father, 'These are my sons whom God has given me in this place.' And he said, 'Please bring them to me and I will bless them.' Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so they could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, 'I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring.' So Joseph brought them from beside his knees and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took both Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said," and I want you to listen to Jacob's words, "'God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day.'" That's a walk of faith, isn't it? "The God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, let my name be upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." That's a testimony, isn't it? What did Jacob do? He gave a testimony as he blessed his grandchildren. "The God who has fed me all my life long to this day. The angel who has redeemed me." And then he emphasized again the covenant blessings. Isn't that what we should be doing? Shouldn't we be giving a testimony? Shouldn't we be standing for and looking at our generations that are going to come on to adulthood after us, or who are already adults, and say there's nothing more important than living a life of faith? It's the most important thing. My friends, if you do it now, if you emphasize God now, if you stand for His truth and righteousness now, it doesn't look like a deathbed thing at the end. Because they've heard you say it all through your days. They're going to expect it as you stand for faith. In 21, in the same chapter, Jacob looked at Joseph and he said, "Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers." Covenant promise. He never got off of it. He was consistent. It's because he believed it. He laid hold of it. And that's what we should do. That's why you see in the verses that we read about Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Peter's desire was to have a legacy of obedience. Isn't that what we should want for our children and our grandchildren? Is that they would be obedient? In 3 John, It says this in verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." That's what we should want. We should want it for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should want it for our family. And can you live a life based upon your own desires and your own focus on worldly things and then somehow at the end flip a switch and have this discussion at your deathbed? If you do, it will probably be a discussion of regret. But we should not want to have a life of regret. We should be like Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Turn with me to Psalm 71. And as you look at Psalm 71, it's about growing old. And in Psalm 71, verse 5, it says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails, for my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life take counsel together, saying, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver him.' O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness in your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come." That's a believer, my friend. See, if we're not living it, we really don't believe it. But when we believe it, we grab hold of it, we embrace it, and we want the next generation to hear it, to grab hold of it, to accept it, and to walk it. We end well when we live well. Will you please join me in prayer? Father, I just come to you this morning thanking you for all of these wonderful examples in the Bible. And I just pray, Lord, that we might have an eternal, Christ-centric view of life. I pray that we might prepare and know that we all end. And when we live for you, the end is sweet. I pray that we might dedicate ourselves to live for you. I pray that we wouldn't be ashamed of our belief, that we would proclaim it, that we would encourage others to live for you, that we might be a living testimony of the power of salvation, of the peace that one can have when we walk with the Lord. I pray, Lord, that we might truly be ambassadors for you by living out the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.